rivers spreading across our Earth's surface. It goes without saying that fresh, clean water is essential for humans and nature to survive. Rivers are precious sources of fresh drinking water for people across the world. And when rivers are so badly polluted by industry or unevenly distributed by poor water management practices, it can be a case of life or death. We want clean water not only to drink, but also to enjoy activities such as fishing and wildlife watching, and to know our children can play in a clean river. Across Europe, there are plenty of river swimming spots that are clean, accessible and safe. From bustling city centres to beaches hidden deep within beautiful national parks, there's something for everyone. In Greece, for example, the river Voidomatis is one of the cleanest in Europe. This 15-kilometre-long waterway has been part of the Vikos Aos National Park since 1973 and doesn't face any environmental challenges. Its name means the eye of the ox and comes from the fact that these animals have clear blue eyes like the waters of the river. This makes the Voidomatis great for wild swimming, but be aware of its cold waters. Despite Greece being a relatively warm country, the river's temperatures is roughly 4 degrees Celsius in all seasons. Yoros Chatzinikolaou is an environmentalist, water resources expert, and holds a PhD on river ecology. He explains the importance of clean rivers for the sustainability of the environment.
Clean water is very important for human development because we use it when we cook. We use it also to make a shower, and we would like to use it in the process of food making. And also we drink water, as about 70% of the human body is water. So therefore water is very important, and we need it to be clean, because when it is polluted, or when it is also contained, it might contain also virus or other microorganisms that might harm us. So it's very important to be clean in order for us to be healthy. For the environment, we need the water to be in a very good state because it supports life. So water is not just for the humankind, but it's for all the organisms that they live on Earth.
While rivers make up a tiny fraction of surface freshwater, they also play a large role in their support of life on Earth and human development. Now, of all the world's liquid surface freshwater, 87% is contained in lakes, 11% in swamps, and only 2% in rivers. Why the river is so important to us?
Well, the river is so important because I believe it has to do with countryside and the landscape that we are attached to. So, for example, if we were living in the desert, the river would still be very important because we need the water. But the ideal setting, the one that would make us feel calm, would be the desert, the gently slopes of the sandhills. But we live in this temperate zone, and river is very important because it transfers, it has water in arid places, and therefore it makes it habitable. And that's how the life goes on, because everything is dependent on water. So to have water in all kinds of landscapes in the temperate zone, it means that you have life. But even in the desert, that we have the Nile River, therefore we still have a belt, a green belt of life.
What are the uses of clean water?
We use clean water to drink it, also to bottle the water and sell it. We cook the food with clean water, and of course we use for hygiene reasons. We shower ourselves, we brush our teeth, and things like that. But it changes also the use of clean water from country to country. For example, in Greece, we are very happy with water because we have plenty of water. Although it doesn't seem so, because for about 6 months of the year, we have a lot of rains in the autumn and the winter, and then on the summertime, usually it's very dry. But still, in comparison with other countries from the Mediterranean, we have plenty of water. And this goes because Greece is a very mountainous country, so it has a high relief, and it supports a lot of forests, So therefore, we have a lot of water resources. Because we have a lot of water resources, we think that we can use very clean water also for uses that in other countries are not acceptable. Like, for example, we can wash the roads with clean water. We can use it for farming. Just clean water, as pure as you can drink it. We use it in the farms to plant our trees, water our trees, and also vegetables, of course. And, of course, even in the toilet flush, we use very clean water.
Speaking of clean water and also about the dry season, we know many times that in Greece we have very hot weather and there is a dry period, and sometimes authorities complain that there's not enough of water. How true is that when it comes to Greece? And where does Greece stand at the moment in terms of healthy rivers and water?
Well, it's in comparison with other countries, again, that we stand in the same latitude. Not true. In Greece we have plenty of water, and we have a lot of forests that produce water, and also high mountains that they can preserve water, and also we have underground aquifers with a lot of water. The problem is how we manage water and when do we need water. So if you have this, let's say, seasonality with water and with rain, you cannot expect that in the summertime you go in a very arid island and you are expecting to find a course of gold. This cannot happen unless if you use desalination to bring seawater and to turn it into fresh water. But this would take a lot of amount of energy, and therefore it would be very, very expensive. So, unless you are on that side, that needs a lot of energy and a lot of spending in economical resources, the other part is that we should be happy with what we have. But you cannot have rice everywhere, because rice takes a lot of water. So, it has to do with what we grow in our fields. Lately, we are talking a lot about the need to contain water in large water reservoirs, because we are in some arid island or in some parts of mainland of Greece. We might produce agricultural products that they need an excess of water, and sometimes that's not the case. In the summertime that they need a lot of water, the water is not there. So we will build large reservoirs to hold the water, and then we can plant our trees or crops or whatever. There is a problem with that. By doing so, by building large reservoirs all the time, we are actually making the water very hard to reach the underground aquifer, which is very, very important.
Why is it important?
Because mostly for the Greek cities and the towns, we use underground water for our tap water. So we cannot, let's say, sacrifice our tap water in order to produce a new agricultural product that needs an excess of water.
To get this right, if I'm using this underground water system, how clean is that water? If the same source is being used by the agricultural sector, and obviously they're using chemicals inside, how healthy and how clean could that be? Or does this affect its quality?
It's not very good, I would say, in a most moderate way. It's not good at all. But the thing is that due to the relief of our country, that also in the mainland, in the center of the mainland, we have mountains. And it's surrounded by some plains and also from the coastline. So the agricultural farms are usually placed next to the seaside. And this produces the landscape that is very familiar to all the Greeks. On the other hand, this means that when the water is being polluted by the agriculture, it then goes to the sea or aquifers that are very close to the sea. Usually when we use the potable water that we have, we are carrying water from far away, usually from the mountains, like for example Athens. In Athens we take a lot of water from Mornos, or even from further up. In large cities, again, like Athens or Thessaloniki, yes, we have water reservoirs, and we take a lot of caution to make all the proper analysis before getting the water into the consumer's network, into the water pipes that we will consume. But that's not the main problem of the water resources in Greece, and especially of the rivers and the lakes. The main problem of the water resources in Greece is that we used to think that the main problem is pollution. So 20 years ago, we had the Water Directive from the European Union imposed, And we are implementing it now, and we are making this circle of 6 years plan about the river basin management plan. So we are taking measures to make the water better and to save also the water resources. The problem is that the way we were actually perceiving the problems of water was always about pollution. But now we know better, and it's not always pollution the problem, because once pollution is out of the picture, larger problems arise. And these problems have to do with the habitat loss and also the changes of the landscape. For example, the recharge capacity of the underground aquifer is a very important problem. And now it's all over Greece, because in the beginning it was only in places that they used to cultivate lemon trees or orange trees, etc. So they were taking a lot of water out of, not only from the rivers and the lakes, but also from the underground. And the sea was intruding the underground aquifers. So there was a significant problem about salination of the underground aquifer. As time goes by, we used to think, okay, it's due to pollution or it's due to bad management. So if we manage to stop using so much water in this kind of crops, we would make it better. And of course, if we stopped all the pesticides and stopped all the pollution entering the river courses. So not actually only in Greece, this is happening all around Europe. But still, although we have cleaner water, and you hardly can say that about the last parts of rivers, but it's very obvious in the seaside, because the sea is actually cleaner than it used to be, I don't know, 20 years ago, many parts of Greece. So now it's getting cared, but the problem is that the habitats are not there anymore. Like, for example, the small wetlands or the large wetlands that they used to be in the coastline are not there anymore. They're changing. They're being touristic development. Because people need, you know, to build their hotels or to build houses and etc. Mm-hmm. But by doing so and getting the wetland out of the bigger picture, which works like an ecosystem, and even larger because it works into the circle of water, you are taking out all the defense mechanisms that we have keeping the seawater out of the mainland. So it's not only a problem about how much water they use in the orange trees and the lemon trees, and it's not only a problem of how much pollution does enter into the rivers, it's also a problem of habitat loss.
Doing away with the wetlands is more important of an issue than the pesticides, for example, that fall into the water.
For the time being, it is more difficult. It's not so important, because pesticides and pollution was very important. But now we are trying to solve this. And slowly, slowly, we are making progress into phasing out all pollutants and hazardous substances into the water. But still, the water is not healthy. I mean, it is clean water, but the fish is not there, the invertebrates are not there, the aquatic species of flora are not there. So what is wrong? We did carry out all the previous years flood prevent works that were not actually helping the river or the system. We could make them better, and now the science has progressed a lot, and we can make them better. We can make much better flood preventive works.
How healthy are Greek rivers, given the fact that a lot of companies, or some companies, illegally throw waste into the rivers, into Greek rivers? We've seen that many times happening. Some people report it, some people do not report it. How is the situation nowadays?
The situation nowadays, it's quite diverse, as is the Greek landscape. So we have the high waters up in the mountains, which are usually of excellent quality. But when the water comes close to the cities and the villages and the rest of the cultivated areas, then it gets polluted. In some areas, it gets less polluted, and in some areas, it gets more polluted. But in general, the last, let's say, 20 years, a lot of effort has been made in order to get a clear picture of how the quality and the quantity of water is like, something that never happened again in Greece. So we have this national monitoring network, which is being carried out, I would say, with lots of problems, but more or less it is being carried out in a yearly basis. So now we have a good picture of what is our rivers are like. And the picture is like it could be much worse and it could be much better. If we rank it among the European countries, we're something about, yes, in a moderate level, I would say.
There is this issue with Assiniboine River. We know that's been many reports. We had residents in the area of Enofita who have actually were witnessing cancerous incidents because of the drinking water. What is the situation now, and do you think Assiniboine is still a very polluted river?
There was an effort made in the previous decade, so by 2012, if I remember right, it was imposed that nobody should use the river from the area, even for agricultural purposes. And they were taking water from the organization that provides potable water in the capital, in Athens. So AIDAP was giving water to the farmers there and also to the people in order to avoid contact with the polluted water that it was underground. This all was happening because in the 70s, Assiniboine River was assigned as a basin that you can throw up all kinds of liquid waste.
And cancer was the effect of one of them, or not?
Yes, I believe there was a study also being made there, because the first who took notice of it, it was a priest. So it was this priest of Enofita. So he took all the deaths on reported for the people that they were getting funerals. And he said, what is the reason behind that? And he noticed that since 1970-something, it was like in the mid of 70s, there was a rise, about 30%. Funeral of the people who deceased due to cancer. And he was very concerned about this, and he asked many people, and finally they came up with the answer. It was very close to Erin Brockovich, although without Julia Roberts, because he was a priest and he made a very strong case about that. And then he forced actually the Greek state to take very severe measures. One of the measures was to forbid the use of groundwater for this community, and also to help the farmers by bringing water from Mornos to the area there, in order to avoid contact also with the food products that they were cultivating.
How possible is it to avoid contact with food products, and would you personally consume vegetables and all the produce that comes from that area, from Enofita?
Today, I think it might be still some of pollution in the underground, but I don't have a picture.
Would you consume the groceries from that area?
I would consume it.
Any past failures, and are we learning from them?
We are learning, because we had a lot of failures, but it's not only about Greece, it's about everywhere. I mean, even in the United States, they used to build a lot of flood-preventing mechanism, and also a lot of dams, etc., etc. And then they said, oh, look what we did. We lost about 6% of our biodiversity, and they're trying to make it right this time. So we are on the same page. I mean, we are making the same mistakes, and we are trying to look at sustainability, but on a very slow pace. We need to make more, and we need to go faster, because biodiversity does not change. Habitat loss is a very big problem. And also, due to the climate change, that it's also emerging as an urgent need, we need to act as fast as we can.
How will climate change, you think, will affect our water resources in the future?
That's a very hard question to answer, because although we do have models, prediction models, actually, we're not sure. I mean, look at the weather. The weather forecast is produced by models nowadays. And still, sometimes the models can go wrong. The same goes about climate change, but the scale of climate change is something that we can hardly perceive. Like, for example, is it going to get dry, the weather? It's very unlikely to get dry in Greece, because it's going to get hotter and we're going to have to live with much more humidity in the air if it goes warmer. But we also have to take account that, for example, the Gulf Stream will be weakened furthermore Gulf Stream, England will have very harsh winters. So if the West and North Europe have harsh winters, how will this affect the Mediterranean? Will it affect it or will it not? So it's very difficult to try to make this forecast. And the truth is that we should fight in order to make the implications as less as could be.
Last but not least, and this is probably my favourite question to you, between using bottled water and running water, even if that comes from a tap, which one would you prefer?
Tap water. I mean, also the bottled water is very nice. Sometimes it comes from fantastic places. But the problem with bottled water is that you never know how it is preserved. I mean, if someone puts it in big boxes, like in six bottles, they go together. And then they make these huge, say, groups of bottles, and even bigger, and they let them under the sun and the warm temperature, even for 1 week, then it's much more preferable to drink tap water than bottled water. And that's only one part of the equation. The other part of the equation is how much effort has been made for this bottle to come to my hand. So I have to use plastic. Plastic was produced from somewhere else. It also was transported in a way by trucks or by train or by whatever. And it went to the supermarket. Someone placed it there. Then I bought it and I brought it home. And in the other hand, I have something like a pipe that connects me with a source. And if I open the tap, I have running water in my house. The only problem is that I have to make sure that the organization that provides me with this water is of an excellent quality.
Do you use a filter to your water, to your tap water?
I live in Thessaloniki and I don't use filters because the tap water is very, very clean and it's also of excellent quality. The problem with filters is that it should be the case of a study. For example, when we are ill and I want to use something in order to get better, I have to address the right medicine or the right cure at the causes of my illness. In the same manner, works the filter. So in cases that you are getting water from a well and this well is polluted with nutrients like nitrate or like ammonium or something else, then you can use this kind of filter. If your water is having a lot of particles, like suspended particles, then you should use different kind of filter. And if the case is of different pollutants, like, for example, these metal ions that they can enter the water system, and you are not aware of it, then by using a common filter will not help the quality of water or your health. So in the first case, you need to know what kind of water do you have, and then try to get the filter that is appropriate.
And that was environmentalist, water resources expert and holder of PhD in river ecology, Yorgos Hatzinikolaou. Thank you. But although the river may look clean, its waters still hide a big problem: phosphates. It is widely understood that phosphate is in fertilizers used by farmers and is found in the runoff from fields into our rivers. Government agencies are working with farmers to reduce the loss of fertilizers from their land, and the high price of fertilizers now means less are being used. But phosphates are also present in many of the products we use in our homes, especially dishwasher tablets and laundry liquids, which go down our sinks and ultimately into the river. In 2016, it was reported that 9% of phosphates found in the freshwater environment comes from dishwasher tablets alone. Removing phosphates at sewage treatment works is difficult, expensive, and requires an energy input which carries with it a carbon footprint, adding to global warming and climate change. There are plans to upgrade sewage treatment works to be able to reduce phosphates from domestic effluents. Evidence suggests our changing climate adds to the problem with lower summer river flows, reducing dilution and drought, and high winter rainfall causing more runoff. Fani Miskaiki is a PhD chemist and deputy director of public water company EIDAP, responsible for water quality control. She explains that phosphates are not a problem in Greece, as the sources the water is coming from are very clean.
EIDAP uses raw water, which mainly comes from surface water resources, Marathonas, Iliki, Mornos and Evinos. From these reservoirs, only Iliki is natural, while the others have been created by the construction of dams in the appropriate places of Western Attica, where it rains a lot, which is a good thing, and we have lots of water due to the weather there. Now, surface water contains several solids, like twigs, dirt, mud, that has drifted in its passage, as well as germs, microorganisms that are not visible to the naked eye, and we do not want to be present in our glass of water. Therefore, treatment is needed in order for the water to become clean and safe. Now, the treatment involves, first of all, the addition of chlorine, and this is the pre-chlorination stage, where the germs in the water are killed, and the subsequent treatment becomes more easy. After this stage, we add aluminium sulfate, which helps solid particles to stick together and unite among themselves and settle down. This process is called chloculation and takes place in large sedimentation tanks. And after this stage, the water is cleaned at a degree of 80%. After that, the very light particles and the colloids which remain and cannot settle at this previous sedimentation stage are withheld on special sand filters, from which water comes out clean enough to be potable.
Users complain that when they taste water, especially in Athens, there is a taste of chlorine inside. And you just mentioned chlorine right now. Is this the case, and how bad is this for our system?
Well, yes, I understand that some of our customers complain for this smell, odor, or taste of chlorine in their water. However, chlorine is very important to be added into the water because disinfection is the most important factor in order to get rid of all these contaminants like germs and microorganisms which make the water unsafe. Therefore, chlorine has to be added. Also, by law, it has to be added. And in EIDAP water, it is added at concentrations which are low and just the necessary concentrations in order to keep our water safe at each one of the taps in Athens area.
You mean the necessary concentrations in terms of human health as well?
In terms of human health as well, exactly. Some of our customers, or what we call organoleptic characteristics of water, which smell, odor that is, or taste, vary according to the ability of the human to detect them. For example, if I am used to drinking bottled water, then of course I will detect more easily than someone else who always drinks tap water the chlorine, because chlorine is not present at the bottled water, whereas chlorine is present at tap water. So I will be able to detect the difference. The difference, however, does not mean that the chlorinated water is not healthy.
Between tap water and bottled water, what do you drink?
Well, this is a very easy question. Of course I drink the tap water because I'm so sure of its quality. We conduct millions and millions of tests every day in order to safeguard and be sure that the water that arrives at taps, at each one of our taps, is safe to drink. Therefore, in Athens area, I suggest everybody uses tap water.
In some areas, the taste of chlorine is stronger than in other areas. How does this happen? And also, how dangerous to our health is the bull pipes of Athens, that sometimes they just exhale things which go into the water?
Old pipes. Of course, Athens network and most cities network, drinking water network, I mean, are of a certain age. And the main problem that arises from old pipes is the breakage of the pipes and the loss of water. This is the main problem because pipes are made of materials which are safe and do not give any not wanted properties to the water that is delivered to the people, quality-wise. Well, the best thing to deal with it is optimal management of the network in terms of application of advanced pressure management technologies so that no unnecessary stress on pipes exists and we have less breakage. We also apply systematic maintenance program and targeted with documented priority program of replacement of the pipes that are very old or are more keen to breakage. Water safety plan is one of the prerequisites for the good management of quality of water. It introduces the idea of preventing of anything which can harm quality from happening to the water from the source to the tap of the consumer. Therefore, water safety plan is a system with operations which prevent any non-desirable leakage, let's say, of contamination into the water. And it also poses all measures that are needed in order to safeguard that no contamination exists, or whenever it exists, it is carried away before consuming.
Back in 2007-8, we did a report on the situation of Assopos River. There was an extensive report how that affected the citizens there, because it was a very bad water, and there was a priest there that actually found out that the water was the cause of cancer in the region. What steps have been taken since, and can you avert a situation like that?
Well, the best measure is to prevent pollution, and that's what we are aiming at. Now, I don't know much about Assopos because it is not in the area of Eidam.
And who is responsible there in the Assopos region? Which company?
Municipalities which are in the area.
Why is water drinkable, for example, in Athens, where in other areas of Greece it is not? Also, when I went to Paris, I could not drink water there, and that's a metropolitan city. And it's quite striking that we can actually drink the water of Athens, but we cannot drink the water of another metropolitan city and as big as Paris, for example.
Well, Athens water arrives from the western, as I said previously, region of Greece, where it rains a lot. And the main water sources and the reservoirs are located in pristine areas, free from agricultural and industrial activity. And that makes the source water very, very clean. In contrast with the great European cities, which use water of rivers which are pressurized by industry or anthropogenic activities, big cities and sewage, etc. But of course, there as well, treatment is being applied in order to clarify the water and make it drinkable. I wouldn't know about Paris because I haven't read lately anything about Paris water. But, for example, German cities which use the water of Thames or the Rhine have to face difficult problems and to resolve difficult problems in order to treat water, which is, of course, contaminated by human activities. So, yes, the high quality of Athens water is due to the location of the reservoirs, the origin of the water, which is precluded and very well protected also by law.
Do you see any future when it comes to the water of the islands of Greece? What is the solution there?
I guess desalination is one of the solutions, and also a sustainable and reasonable and efficient management of the water resources is always what we have to keep an eye on doing our best for.
Desalinated water can be drinkable.
Of course, of course.
You mentioned earlier that some techniques you're using contain certain chemicals, which are also chlorine, but when you actually get to clean that water, are there areas where you find it more difficult to clean the water?
In some areas of Greece, I would say, because in Attica we have these main sources and we have water treatment plants which treat the water and produce the drinkable water, which then enters the network and reaches our taps. So there we have a uniform treatment which can make completely safe and very clean and very highest quality the water of Athens. Other areas in Greece are not as lucky, I would say, as Athens, because the source water has some difficult problems that need to be solved before the water reaches our taps and glasses. For example, pesticides can be present in waters that are in areas where we have plants and agricultural pressures, or nitrates can be present in areas where also we have agriculture or sewer reasons which can contaminate the water. Some areas also may have high content of some metals which are not desirable, either for their toxicity or because they discolorate the water.
Given that, I was reading that phosphates, for example, can be a problem for the water. And also the fact that when we put our clothes into the washing machine, that also has kind of like a microplastics that can cause problems in the water. Do you agree that zero phosphates give cleaner water?
Athens water has zero phosphates and also zero nitrates, for example.
Why is that?
Zero pesticides and zero metals. And the reason is because it comes from clean areas with no anthropogenic pressures.
What I'm saying is in 2016, it was reported that 9% of phosphates were found in the freshwater environment that came from dishwasher tablets alone. A lot of Athenians, they use dishwasher tablets, including myself. Even though you might be getting the water from clean sources, how does that affect the quality of water?
The phosphates from our washing machine tablets actually will have to go to the environment. They will not go to our taps to begin with. Eventually, one day, because we have one planet, one system, one water, eventually it will come into our cup.
Exactly.
But
it's like a vicious circle, isn't it?
That's right. But it is a challenge for the sewerage part of utilities to remove in an efficient way the phosphates from the sewage.
But apart from that, we have farmers using fertilizers, and the fertilizers sometimes are thrown into rivers. These rivers or these lakes are used for drinking water. I know that you're saying that these rivers or lakes that we are currently using in Greece and especially in Athens are clean, but in case someone actually polluted one of those clean sources you're mentioning now, how easy would it be to clean that water?
When we have to apply extra treatment, then we have to do it in an efficient way. There are ways to remove the contaminants. You have to apply heavier treatment when you have heavier contaminants.
First, you test the water. You do checks, chemical tests, the quality of the water.
Exactly. First, you test the raw water in order to find out what you have to remove. This is a continuous process, of course. The quality control, both of raw and treated water, is a continuous process.
How often do you do that?
Well, in Athens, we test the raw water every day for some parameters and also monthly for more parameters, so that each month we can have a good idea if something of higher concern, let's say, is present and needs to be extra treated. Whereas every day, both raw and treated water are also tested for several parameters, which are the most easily changed parameters, so that we are ready all the time to face any problem that arises. And also we have online systems, early warning systems, which monitor quality all the time and send alarms when something is outside the specified values.
Can you explain that further with all these monitors? Can you actually detect when this is happening and if there is a particular place that it's happening?
The water safety plan and also our water quality control measures are set in such a way so that we can detect any contamination when it arises. How this is being done? Several stations, quality control stations, which are positioned at critical places in the aqueduct. Now I'm talking about the source water, which travels from Western Greece to the Attica region. The water is transferred by gravity, by a canal and pipes, which are of about 400 kilometers length. Now, in several places, several positions which are considered critical, we have installed 12 stations which monitor water quality parameters of the water which arrives in our four water treatment plants. Also, at the entrance of the four water treatment plants, there are systems which also monitor constantly online in real time quality of water. And also there are online systems which monitor certain parameters during the treatment processes and also at the finished product, the finished water, which now is ready, drinkable, and ready to go into the drinking water network and travel to our taps. Therefore, there are systems which monitor quality all the time. And on top of the systems, of course, there is a very wisely planned program, which is quite complicated because there are very large quantities which are being used in Athens Water Company. So we have a very complicated program of sampling and testing both in raw water and drinkable water, so that 7 days a week and 365 days per year, water is being tested and assured that it is safe to be drunk.
There are dry seasons also in Greece, and I wanted to ask you about how these dry seasons affect water resources, and are there enough water resources for all citizens? Do you foresee also any water shortages in the future?
Well, water scarcity, of course, is an issue. We face the last couple of years, this year, last year, even in Europe, and most probably the drought seems to be due to climate change due to anthropogenic activity. For the time being, Athens does not have a problem per se, but we always have to take measures and we have to manage the water resources in a sustainable, reasonable and efficient way. This is the answer to drought. Technology also, and measures such as pressure management in order to have less breakage and no unnecessary loss of water. Because one of the main enemies of clean water is to lose it unnecessarily, to use it without second thought. So, yes, we have very careful in order to protect this very precious thing, which is clean water.
And that was PhD chemist and deputy director of Public Water Company EIDAP, responsible for water quality control, Fani Mouskaki. Fani Mouskaki has just told us tap water in Athens is apparently absolutely safe to drink. Water supply and sanitation in Greece is characterized by diversity. While Athens receives its water from a series of reservoirs, some of which are located 200 kilometers away, some small islands are supplied with water from tankers. Greeks have suffered from repeated droughts, but lots of rainy seasons too. The EU supported the construction of numerous wastewater treatment plants since the 1990s in order to achieve EU environmental standards. While the wastewater discharged of the biggest cities is now in compliance with these standards, some smaller towns still lag behind. In Athens and Thessaloniki, we do not have to buy water bottles since all buildings have direct access to drinkable water from the nearby rivers and lakes. This way, we can achieve sustainability by refilling our water bottles. The vast majority of disposable water bottles become garbage, predominantly plastic and then microplastic, that ends up in our oceans, lakes and rivers. And we don't want that. Imagine how beneficial it would be for the environment if we all started using one bottle which we would refill throughout the day. I'm Katerina Badzaki. Join us next week to indulge the infinite universe of our curiosity in another of our Infinite Curious programs. Meanwhile, between tap water and bottled water, opt for tap or running water. Use water wisely, and remember, it is not a given good. Around 2 billion people around the world do not have access to clean and safe drinking water, and approximately 3.6 billion people, that is 46% of the world's population, lack adequate sanitation services. That is according to a new United Nations World Water Development report. So it is really important to think before we drink and to dispose our waste in bins and not in nature, because if not, this waste will come back to our food and body sooner than later.
Waiter, send this to the table, the party of one, the only other lonely soul in this place. And so you're finishing up your coffee, but then where are you gonna run? Where'd you get that look on your face?
You should always let the sun go down on your anger. Let it burn you to sleep, and pray you're closer to the danger, to surrender and retreat. Sing your sad song to sleep.
I loved you the first time I saw you, and you know I love you still. And I am tired, but I am yours.
Don't even think about your freedom or taking that flight, or going back upon your promise after fighting for the right.
Because your eggshells and your ass deepens and your weaponized words are paper tigers now.
Oh, constant overthinking and your secretive drinking, making you more and more alone. Come here, just let the door behind you. It ain't ever gonna close, because when you're home, you're already home. I am tired. I am tired.
No.
I am yours, I am yours, I am yours.